Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you and praise you and magnify you. Oh, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here at New Life Fellowship. Thank you for your precious people. Thank you for these precious pastors. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to love you today and worship you in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be able to add to that and be a part of that today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everyone shouted,
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, it's just a blessing to be here today. I've been here a number of times. I guess I've been coming probably 10 years or close to it. And I've always really appreciated this church and your pastors and their faithfulness and your faithfulness and what God has been doing here. You know, I was in this building many years ago. I was pastoring in Edgeley, North Dakota, and we were getting ready to build a building. So we came up to take a look at your building and sort of modeled what we did there on that. And so we've had a connection for a long time, but it's just always been a treasure to me to come here. But I just wanted to say that today, I don't know how to say it, but this is the furthest along I've seen your church. I mean, we sang the song, you know, there is a river. Folks, there is a river. There's a river flowing in this place. And there has been for a long time, but I'm just saying, I see there's growth and there's an openness to the Holy Spirit. And God is really moving in your midst. So treasure that. Protect that. And don't let the devil, you know, mess up relationships or anything like that. Just keep that river flowing. Amen. Just keep loving one another. Keep reaching out, loving people on the outside. Don't react to what they say or do. Just keep loving them with the love of Jesus, and you're going to continue to see growth personally and numerically. And also, I would say an expansion too. I would say that the days are coming, you're going to see more satellites going out from here, okay? That ministry is going to be being released out of here in a greater measure than before because of what's been established. So just keep that in mind and pray that forth as the Lord leads you. But I believe you're going to see that in the days to come. So keep on track, keep on target, keep building, and you're going to see an expansion in Jesus' name. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I want to mention our back on the back table. We brought along some materials. The healing CD, I know many of you have this. It's a good tool of ministry. Really not a sermon, but it's just ministry from the Word of God, scriptures from all throughout the Word of God, and confessions and prayers. It also has the salvation message. So if you need healing in your body or healing emotionally, be sure to get one of these. Or if you know somebody that does or someone that needs Jesus, this has been a blessing. It seems like it's just more and more people are making use of it. So also, I know Albert was promoting my little book here, Filling the Void, in Sunday school this morning. This is this hippie guy is me. That was me back in the 70s, and Jesus changed my life, delivered me from drugs and alcohol, and set my wife and I on a whole new course, and I thank God for that. So that little booklet's a good salvation message track, and just a message for anybody that needs to fill a void in their life. You know, it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol like it was for me, but there's a need in their life. That'll be a good tool. And then also there's this book called You Can Touch the World, which I really think is the big thing that God's doing today, is he's encouraging us in the body of Christ to know that we can make a difference in our world. And you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in a few days, I'll be going to India, you know. Praise God. And that's exciting. But the world is right here, all around your area, where you live and where you go. That's part of the world, too. So when he said, go into all the world, that means his body, his people are sent, you know, into all the world. And this book, I believe, can be an encouragement to you in that and give you some teaching about how to do that. And, you know, I was talking in the Sunday school class, and Jesus said we'd receive power and we'd be witnesses. And sometimes we think, well, that should just be automatic. It should just happen. But, you know, I found in my own life I had to pray about it. and I had to get trained and equipped. And then I had to start taking steps, you know, and sharing my faith. And sometimes I was pretty nervous about it. We mentioned the story about the man named Edward Kimball that came up in Sunday school today. Edward Kimball was a businessman. Wasn't a preacher, but he had a burden on his heart to share the gospel with a shoe salesman. And he was just had the hardest time in the world sharing, you know. But finally he forced himself and shared the good news with this shoe salesman. The shoe salesman gave his heart to the Lord and got saved. Praise God. Shoe salesman's name's D.L. Moody. Praise God. So, you know, be a witness. I mean, you don't know what you can accomplish through that. There's some of our newsletters back there. And help yourself to as many of those as you'd like. If you want to take some and give them away, that's fine. This one's called Don't Build Your House on Poles. It's a testimony about a house that we built back in our hippie days. And just relating that spiritually, how we need to have a foundation under our spiritual house. We built this house on poles, and later on we had to come along and build a foundation under it. So you've got to have a solid foundation under your house, and you got to have a solid foundation under your Christian life. So anyway, our newsletters are back there. Everybody likes the back page best. It's my wife's articles. Everywhere I go, they say, well, we read the back page first. So, but you know, it's a trick because it increases circulation, and then we get the word in. My wife gets the word in there too. She's funny, but she gets the word in, and we get the word in, and we just keep in touch, and we let people know what's happening in our ministry. And there's been tremendous things happening. I'm just so excited. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Starkweather here, not far from you, and we had a meeting in a Lutheran church there and saw the Lord dramatically heal a number of people. Some of them were instant. One man had a chronic back problem, and we prayed for him, and he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and was completely gone. And there was a number of shoulder problems and ailments. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That were healed. And then after I came back, we continued to get testimony. So there was a lady that we had prayed for arthritis in her hands. And she also had a problem in her shoulders. While she was there, she got freedom of motion in her shoulders. But she still had the arthritis pain. But within a week, we got a testimony that she had received healing in her hands too. So God's moving, you know, in the United States. And all over the world, we've been working in India and Nepal and going into those places and ministering to ministers a lot, teaching about evangelism, encouraging the ministers and reaching their country for Christ. And we've also been doing crusades. And we've been finding tangible fruit. It seems like every time we go, then we'll get a report that the church grew after we left. And so, I mean, it's so exciting. You know, we know the seeds that we plant, God's word won't return void, but it's really neat to hear those reports, amen? And so we were seeing that fruit's coming out of that. And as Pastor said, I'll be traveling in November, and this time my wife Susan's going with me. So we'll be there. We'll be gone for 17 days, and we're going to be working with two different ministries in India, teaching pastors and doing evangelistic meetings. So I really would ask for your prayers. Maybe today, if we have a chance, you could pray for us as a church as we go. I was going to share a video from Nepal, really neat video from our last trip. but I think maybe we'll be able to share it tonight for those of you that come. But I felt we might miss God if we shared that because I feel like your hearts are open right now for the word. And I don't want to just miss the spirit on that. Okay, so but you can see that video online too on our website. There's a lot of good stuff on our website, so you go there and just check it out. You can see that. But I'd like for you to ask you to open your Bibles to Mark 11 this morning. Mark 11. Can everybody hear me good? Okay. And Lord, we do thank you for your holy word. And we do open our hearts right now to what you want to do in our lives, to give us those weapons, to give us that understanding how to operate in faith and to bring forth your will. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'll notice in the 12th verse, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come down from Bethany, he," that is Jesus, "was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it." By the way, did you know that your Lord and Savior spoke to trees? "He said unto it, No man eat fruit from thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." And then we'll just drop down. We just want to kind of focus on this story, and then especially one verse here. In the 20th verse, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." Why was he so surprised? "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Understood subject. You have faith in God. You have faith in God. Yeah, I did it. But right away, he turns around and says, "Now you have faith in God." He's always applying these lessons of life to his disciples so that they can apply those things. You know, Jesus said, "The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." Jesus' ministry was not all just about the things that he could do. He was trying to impart to them those things so that he could do, so that they could do the same things. They were marveled that this tree was withered away. He answered and said, "You have the faith of God. You believe God. For verily I say unto you," turn to your neighbor and say, "This means you." "Truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." In other words, you will have whatever you say. Jesus said, "You will have." How many believe this is the Bible? Amen. Got the red letter edition? It's Jesus' words. Jesus said, "You will have whatever you say." What are you saying? What are you speaking into existence with your mouth? What are you creating with your words? Because Jesus said, "You will have whatever you say." And if you believe it in your heart, you could say unto the mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And don't doubt, it shall be moved into the sea." You can remove obstacles. You know, the same metaphor is used in Zechariah when they were trying to build the temple and there was hindrances. And he says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed." Praise God. You can move mountains. You can change things with the words that you speak. There is power in the words that you speak, for good or for evil. In your own life, in your family, in your relationships. You can literally destroy your family with words. It's so important that you, like David, ask the Lord to put a guard at your lips. Because the words that you speak can be very detrimental to your family, to your relationships, to your children. It's very, very important what we say to our children. We literally define their lives. And if we speak the wrong things into our children, they could spend a whole lifetime trying to overcome those words. But today I want to give you some keys to also overcome if someone has spoken words over your life. See, words are containers that contain spiritual power. And we need to really get a hold of this in order to have victory in the Christian life. Amen. See, because there's more to the Christian life than being born again, we also have to go on with the Lord. There's more to the Christian life than being baptized in the Holy Spirit, though I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you see, you can be born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but if you don't agree with what God says, you could be defeated. If instead of agreeing with what God says, you agree with what the devil says, then you are undermining the power of God in your life. One time I had the Lord speak to me very solemnly. He said these words. He said, "Destroy not the anointing." And I was in the ministry, and I need the anointing. And so it shook me. I knew it was a warning. Destroy not the anointing. I said, "Lord, how does a person destroy the anointing?" You know what the Lord said? He says, "The natural thinking of the natural man. All you got to do is just think like everybody else. The way you think, the way you talk, the way you act, we need to be transformed." Yes. Amen? That's why he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," that's Christians, "brethren and sisters," amen, "brothers and sisters, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you do something. You present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You don't be conformed to this world. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You have to do something. So you have to recognize you're a sinner, get born again, ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit, and then you need to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he says, "In order that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The will of God. We can read in God's Word and we can see what His will is. You know, I can read in God's Word that God wants my family healthy, my family blessed. But sometimes there's a gap between His will and what's actually happening. And may it be sometimes that the gap is in my thinking and my speaking and my acting in line with God's Word. And I just feel like God put it on my heart to talk to you about what you're saying. Because you will have whatever you say. Can I have an amen? Your life is literally a product of what you've been saying. We have a unique capacity as human beings to create. I was thinking about this as I was at the pastor's house. And you know, that house did not exist a few years ago. It was conceived somewhere in their minds and in their hearts. It was conceived. The picture was conceived. And they, no doubt they talked about it and spoke it and it developed it and then put things into motion and put things into action to create that house. This building, the same way. As I said, we came here to get inspiration for the building we built in Edgeley. And that is our capacity as humans. We have that capacity to create. And we have power to imagine within ourselves and create things. You don't see giraffes or monkeys or what do we have around here, deer, building churches. I mean, thank God. God gave them special capacities too. But we have that capacity to imagine and to create and to speak and to develop things and to bring things forth. And Jesus is dealing in this area today. And it can be, as I said, for good or evil. Let's turn to Proverbs 18 for a second. Proverbs 18. I'd like to read verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It's interesting that word power there is also could be translated the hand. The power of life and death has been put in your hand, only it's your tongue that releases it one way or another. I don't know about you, but have you ever heard Adolf Hitler, any recordings of him? There's an evil power that you can sense in his words. You can't, you know, I mean, he's speaking German. I can't understand what he's saying, but I can feel the power of it. He was anointed of the devil to preach hate. And you see, we've got to come around the other side, and we need to be anointed of the Lord to release love through our words. Whether we're preaching from the pulpit, or talking to our wife, or children, or a friend, we need to release the love of God in our words. We need to release life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think of it. You have a choice of whether which you're going to have. You're going to have life, or you're going to have death through the power of the tongue. Praise God. And this applies to our self-talk, the things that we say to ourselves. Anybody here talk to yourself? Well, we all do. Psychologists recognize about our self-talk, and the Bible does too, what we're saying about ourselves, what we're saying about God. When we face a situation, this is impossible. There's no way this is going to happen. Well, that may be the facts, but there's a higher truth, because nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Sometimes you have to apply the truth above the facts. The power of God's word in the lips of a believer is powerful. There's a war of words going on. You know, you see it in Jesus' life when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I said you need to be born again, filled with the Spirit, okay? But then you got to win this war of words. Because he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil came to him with words. Containers of deception. And he could have said, yep, guess that's right. But no, he said, it is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. Fasting for 40 days. Man shall not live by bread alone. I mean, he was hungry. It says afterwards he was hungered. They tell me, I never passed it that long, but they tell me if you fast 40 days, afterwards you get hungry. I know that sounds funny, but they say, you know, like I say, I haven't fasted that long, but there's a time after a while that you kind of lose your hunger. But then at the end of the fast, in a complete fast like that, then the hunger comes back. So he was hungry. The devil says, turn those stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So here's Jesus after 40 days of starving his flesh. He's still speaking the word. Hallelujah. And that's how he defeated the devil. And that's how you can defeat the devil too. Right. That's what we heard the word today about God's putting weapons in your hands. This is a very simple message. But this is the weapon that God has given you. Can I have an amen? And Isaiah 54:17, the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that will rise up against you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Now, how many know that when you receive Jesus, you receive a gift of righteousness? He empowers you. He puts you in a position of righteousness, being right with God, and with that comes authority. So he's saying, this is your heritage. You have a right to condemn words spoken against you. So if the devil speaks a word against you, you have power to counteract that and condemn that word. If people speak a word against you, some of you probably have had situations. You were raised in a home where words were spoken against you. My wife was called names by her father. I see a battle going on in her, but I see her overcoming, rising up above that. Amen. When someone in a position of authority like that speaks a word over you, I mean, that's a very, very powerful thing. But the word of God is more powerful. The name of Jesus is higher. We heard someone talking about David and Goliath today. David went out to meet the Philistine. And the Philistine says, I'm going to mop you up. I'm going to give you to the birds, and they're going to eat you up. He spoke words of defeat. And we think of David out there, that he defeated him with that slingshot. But I believe that David won the war before he ever got the slingshot out. You know what he said? He says, well, you come to me with the sword and the shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to wipe you up. And so David's words prevailed over the devil's words, or the giant's words, because they had greater power and authority. You see? He had faith in his God. He had faith in the covenant he had with God. And that's what we need to do. Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. He says, if you believe in your heart that those words that you say will come to pass. We need to believe in the power that we have to use words. To cast down imaginations and every high thing. Talking about weapons. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, but are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Right. There are strongholds in Christians' lives that are defeating them day after day, week after week, and year after year. But there's a weapon that can pull those strongholds down once for all and defeat those things and bring forth the nature of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. Imaginations. And every high thing or proud thing or lofty thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. You see, there's truth, there's reality that's yours, but imaginations are holding you back. And you've got to use the words of your mouth to grasp those things and pull them down in Jesus' name. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, I just wrote down a few examples of what I would call negative confessions, okay? And these are just some thoughts. Because I want you to take this and apply it to yourself. There's probably things that you are saying over and over again like this. You may not be saying exactly these things, but I just wanted to give illustration to this. Things that we might say that will keep us defeated. How many like to learn about that? All right, how about this? I can't quit smoking. Well, that might be a fact, but it's not the truth, because the Bible says if you're a Christian, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I got quiet in here all of a sudden. I'm just teaching the word, folks. Aren't you with me? I can't quit smoking. Or how about this? I'm a slave to alcohol. Well, you might need to admit that you're a slave to alcohol, but then just don't keep on saying it. Start saying, I'm free in Jesus' name. That's why I don't agree with having a meeting every week and coming and saying, I'm an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic, but I've been set free. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a good pulpit for jumping. Okay, you students, young people, I always have trouble with math. Well, that's a bad confession. You might have difficulty with math, but start confessing God's ability. Start saying, God is helping me with my math. Can I have an amen? It's scriptural, because he said he's a very present help in time of trouble. If your math is trouble. How many hear what I'm saying today? How about this one? My husband doesn't love me. Not a good thing to say. It's born of self-pity. Your self-talk can bring destruction into your marriage. And then the words you verbalize to one another, again, bring further havoc on your life. You need to bring forth words that heal and help and are in agreement with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is blessing my marriage. We are learning to love one another. I hate my job. Well, you know, you're not going to have a good time the next day when you go to work after you say that. Maybe you're having difficulty in your job. You should say, thank God I have a job. And thank you, Lord, for a better one. Amen? Because why? He would that I would prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. God's will is to bless me. Amen? A lot of our negative confession is birth of doubt and unbelief. Not believing in who God said he was. Not believing that God wants to bless us. Amen? So we're frustrated in life. We take it out on other people. We say things we shouldn't about God and about our circumstances. And it's self-defeating. Why? Because Jesus said you're going to have what you say. Amen. I have to amen myself today, I guess. I can't stand my coworkers. You're sowing a negative seed. Amen. Pray for them. Lord, help them. Bless them. Help get them out of their mess. School is so hard for me. Say, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Amen? How about this one? This job is killing me. You'll have what you say. Hello? Okay, here's another one. I can't resist chocolate. I think I'm getting a response on that one. The Bible says, and I think we'll get over there if we get that far, but the Bible said your tongue is like a rudder for your life. It says, through the tongue you can control the whole body. That tells me that I am telling my body facts about itself through what I say. I am telling my body I can't resist chocolate. And so my body is craving chocolate more and more. Right? We read that scripture, a man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You know, we should be confessing that we're satisfied with the food that we eat. It seems like God's been teaching me something about that. My wife and I lost a bunch of weight. I lost 75 pounds. My wife lost 85. And she was able to keep her whole 85 off. She's doing great. You know, but I gained some of mine back. I'm looking for that spiritual clue to just, you know, slim down, you know. I have a real clue. Don't put so much food in your mouth. But the thing of it is, it's like, you know, your body's craving this food. You know? And so like over a period of 3 years, you know, you just gain a little bit of time, you know, you gain. But a man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. Thank you, Lord. I'm satisfied with this. Praise God. Confess that you're satisfied, and when you believe it in your heart, amen, your body will start responding correctly. I'm always hungry. You're telling your body to be hungry. Amen. How about this one? I don't know how to handle money. Well, it may be a fact, but there's a higher truth. How about this one? Jesus has made unto me wisdom. I had a lot of mess in my life because of this problem. I didn't know how to handle money. But I started confessing God's wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God started giving me wisdom about money. And praise God, I'm debt free. Hallelujah. And I continue to trust him to give me wisdom. So we should reject those negative confessions and start confessing the word of God. How about this? I'm a new creature in Christ. Let's try it. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. God is able. Nothing is impossible with my God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sin does not have dominion over me because I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. Isn't that truth? Did you know Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Sin shall not have dominion over me. No, I'm not a slave to alcohol. Amen. No, I'm not a slave to bad habits and addictions in Jesus' name. I have power through the word of God in Jesus' name. That's good preaching. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Yeah, if you want to say something, be an oracle of God. Speak what the word of God says. Can I have an amen? Heard a story one time about a man bound up in a homosexual spirit. He had been married and even had children, but had a problem in his life. And he went to someone for ministry, and they commanded the spirit to go. He wanted to be set free. But after ministry, he still had that desire, that temptation operating in his life. But the man told him, he actually sent him out with some Christians to travel. And he says, I want you to continually say, I'm free in Jesus' name. And so he, you know, was traveling around with these Christians and doing, you know, whatever, helping them with Christian ministry and saying, I'm free in Jesus' name. He's just, if you looked at it in the natural, the facts, he was still just as bound as he was before. Still had that temptation, that problem. But he kept saying, I'm free in Jesus' name. And one day he's sitting in the shower, taking a shower, and saying, I'm free in Jesus' name. All of a sudden he says, I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm free in Jesus' name. Because that confession became reality. Not only was he speaking it with his mouth, but he was believing in his heart. See, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to help us to believe. It's true. He's the Spirit. The Bible said that he's the Spirit of truth. So he reveals truth to us. Things need to sort of drop down in our heart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to reveal to us. And at that moment, that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit revealed to him, I'm free in Jesus' name. Next thing you know, he's calling his wife, reconciled with her. They get back together. He's healed. He goes into the ministry. When I first went into the ministry in Twin Valley, Minnesota, my boss, I was working a job at that time. My boss gave me an ultimatum, said, you can pastor this church or you can be editor of this newspaper, but you can't do both. That's how I got in full-time ministry. But when I first went into ministry, I became very depressed. I'm not a person that, you know, had a lot of depression, but I was very depressed. And I noticed the only time that I was really free was when I was in the pulpit preaching the word. But I had this heaviness come on me. I mean, of course, there was worries about finances. There was a whole new lifestyle. I was used to going, punching the clock, sort of. You know, you had that routine. My whole routine, my whole life was upset. I mean, there was things contributing to it, but I mean, I was depressed. But someone said to me, did you ever think that it's the devil warring against your mind? I said, no, I never thought of that. But the more I thought about that, I realized that's exactly what's happening. He wants me depressed. And so I started taking scriptures. A friend of mine had these scriptures called How to Stay Free from Spirits of Oppression. And I started taking those scriptures and confessing them in first person for myself. Like, for example, Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage." So I personalized that. I said, I'm standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free, and I'm not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You might want to make a note on some of these scriptures. You know, you don't have to take extensive notes, but it might help you to go back and remember some of these scriptures. That was Galatians 5:1. And then another one was, "Him who the Son sets free is free indeed." By the way, did you know that him who the Son sets free is free indeed? Free indeed. Indeed. John 8:36, "Him who the Son sets free is free indeed." Thank you, Lord, I'm free indeed, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. You missed a place to shout there. Hallelujah. And then Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So I would say, thank you, Lord. Jesus has given me power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Praise God. And then James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you." So I say, I submit my life to God. Hallelujah. I submit myself to you, Lord. I resist the devil. I resist that depression. I resist that negative thinking. I resist that evil power against my mind. So you have to resist the devil. Understood subject, you. People are always going, "Oh God, why don't you do something about the devil? He already did. He defeated him 2,000 years ago." But just as Carol said to us today, you have to enforce his defeat through the words of your mouth. "I resist him steadfast in the faith." Make a fist and, you know, get your whole being behind it. Resist him. And then, I think it's 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith." So I would confess, "My adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He may not devour me. I resist you steadfast in the faith." And you know, I started just doing that like about 3 times a day at least, just confessing those scriptures, and that spirit just lifted off of me. If I ever have trouble with that, I just go back to those. I've given those to a lot of people. A lot of people have been helped. I have one lady that had trouble with demons around her house. People had prayed for her, and things would get better, but then they'd come back. I said, "Well, you have to resist the devil." I gave her those scriptures. She started resisting the devil, and the atmosphere around her house became clear. Words have power. You will have what you say. Can I have an amen? Amen. All right. Let's go to James 3. Is this going into your heart today? James chapter 3. "My brethren, be not many masters, seeing that we will receive the greater condemnation or judgment. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." If you can control your tongue, you can control the whole body. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us." Put that little bit in the horse, big, great, big old 2,000-pound animal. Just pull it a little bit, goes just exactly where you tell him. Amen. That's the way our tongue is. Your tongue is guiding your life. The things that are in your family are a product of what you're saying. "Behold also the ships," these great big boats, which though they be great are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. That's a rudder. Whithersoever the governor listeth. I'll tell you what, govern your tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Remember, we talked about Adolf Hitler? He had a fire in his tongue. Turned the whole nation. Almost took over the whole world. With that hatred, that fire that he spoke. But we have the Word of God. We have the love of God. The tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. See, the devil ignites or inflames tongues. For every kind of beast. And just because you're born again, spirit-filled Christian, doesn't mean you're exempt from that. That temptation will come. Your wife says something or does something that hits you the wrong way and you say something.
Oh, she doesn't care about me.
Hey, your job's not to worry about that. Your job's to worry about you loving her. Amen? And sowing seeds of righteousness into your marriage. Can I have an amen? In order to bring healing and deliverance. But the tongue can no man tame. It's full of unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, the natural man cannot tame the tongue. It's only by the Spirit of God that our tongue can be controlled. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made of the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. And notice the last verse of that chapter. It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I believe that the Lord is encouraging us to control our tongues and to begin to sow seeds of righteousness into our lives, into our families, into our communities, into our church, amen, to speak those words of life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. God uses words. I think about how when the Lord sent Peter to minister to Cornelius, and you know, he got in trouble with his Jewish friends because he went to the Gentiles, spent time with them. And then, of course, he came back and he explained how the Lord had given him the vision and had sent them to speak. And he said that Cornelius said, get a hold of Peter, who will come and tell you words whereby you may be saved. Words. That's why, you know, I get excited about being a preacher. Because I can bring words through which people can get saved. And he brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to Cornelius and his family. And as he was preaching those words, they gave their lives to Jesus and got filled with the Holy Spirit right in the service. Started speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah! Amen. The power of the gospel. The power of words to change lives. Amen. And then our response to Jesus involves words. He said, if you will confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You're saved by speaking words. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus when he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He yielded to that lordship of Christ. The scripture says you can't even say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You see how God uses words? He sends the gospel as words, and then we're called to respond with words. True words that say, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord. When that happens, you're saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But I come to tell you today, and this is the main thrust of what I've come to tell you, is that's not the end. Because the scripture said, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. There might be a circumstance in your life that makes you think, well, God's not being faithful to me. You speak, keep speaking the profession of faith. You keep trusting the Lord. There's going to be circumstances. It's like when the clouds come out, you can't see the sun. There's circumstances in life where you can't see what the Lord's doing. You've got to hold fast the profession of your faith and trust him through those times. Amen. You've got to believe God and continue the profession of your faith. You know, I heard a testimony of a minister. He got saved as a young man, as a teenager. And he talked about, you know, how a lot of people seem like they get saved, they have a real experience, but then they waver. He said, you know, I believe the reason that I was always able to stay steadfast, he said, I was always saying, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. He was always saying, I'm a new creature. See, that's holding fast the profession of your faith. Giving your testimony is holding fast the profession of faith. I give my testimony all the time. Happened, you know, 1977, I got saved, but people are always hearing about it now. Paul was doing the same thing. Oh, King, a great light from heaven. Yeah, he's always telling this story. Holding fast the profession of his faith without wavering. Why? Because he's faithful but promised. And this minister said, you know, I just kept saying, I'm a new creature. And so some of his other young people, the other teenagers would come to him and say, you know, let's go do this, let's go drink, or let's break into this place. He said, no, I'm a new creature. That fellow that used to do that with you, he's dead. I'm a new creature. Everybody say, I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So I encourage you today, you'll have what you say. Amen? And I just pray this will be a good seed, just a good reminder. It might be an old message for you. I don't know. It is for me. I mean, I've heard this for years. But it's like the Lord brought that back in mind. Because there's areas sometimes that we struggle with. Amen? And like Carol said, you know, you got the victory one day and all of a sudden, it's on you. Well, what do you do about it? Well, you have a weapon. It's right here under your nose. It's powerful. Powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, okay, we're just going to have a holy moment. If I'd like to ask everyone to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you three questions. And ask you to just raise your hand if any of those apply to you. And then I'm going to ask everyone together to come forward, and we're going to have a time of prayer, confession. First of all, is there anyone here that's really never confessed Jesus as Lord? You never said it from your heart, Jesus is my Lord, I'll live for him. And you'd like to do that today. Would you lift your hand if that's you? You'd like to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. The Holy Spirit's telling you to raise your hand, then you just lift your hand. All right? Okay. Second question. Yes, you made Jesus Lord of your life, but you have wavered and you haven't been following the Lord the way you should. You want to make a decision today about that. Would you lift your hand if that's you? All right, see that hand? Are there others? Holy moment. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Okay, now how many today would say, I have a mountain that needs to be moved in my life? Would you lift your hand if that's you? All right, praise God. All right, I see those hands. Those of you that raised your hand for any of those three, would you come forward? We're gonna agree together, and we're going to apply this message from the Word of God. Just come and stand in front of me. We're gonna pray, and we're going to confess. Praise God. This mountain shall be removed. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's been a mountain of sin, a mountain of sickness, a mountain of marital problem. I may agree, this mountain shall be removed. We're going to speak unto the mountain, amen? Anyone else need to come before we make our confession? Hallelujah. Precious people of God. Precious people. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we just relax in your presence right now. We just let the words sink into our hearts. We allow the Holy Spirit to minister right now. We open our thoughts and hearts to you and what you have to say, to speak a word of deliverance. Some of it, Lord, maybe by my lips here, but some of it just individually to those who have come. You have a word for them, that you may speak to their hearts even now. And so we rest in your presence. We relax in you. We know that you are able to do things that no man can do, that you are the one that is behind the power of the tongue. You have put it in our hands. It's not our power. It's your power. We agree with your power. We agree with Jesus Christ, who you sent. So would you just say these words with me and just say, Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he's on the right hand of the throne. I believe Jesus is praying for me. And I confess that Jesus is my Lord. And he came to set me free. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I confess, in Jesus' name, I'm free indeed. I'm a new creature. I'm not a slave to sin or anything else. I'm not a slave to words that have been spoken over me. The devil's words are the words of ignorant people. I'm not a slave. I'm not under those words. Those words come to me like a sword and a shield. But I come against them in the name of the Lord. And I crush those words. Words against me. Words against my family. Words against my children. I crush those words. I condemn those words. And I say they have no power. In Jesus' name. And today I speak to the mountain. The obstacles in my life. I say, be removed. And be cast into the sea. Jesus has given me authority. I thank you, Lord. It shall be done. And I declare, this day, I'm free. In Jesus' name. And that you are the Lord that heals me. You are my deliverer, my constant counselor, my wisdom, the grace of my life. Thank you. I trust you. And I go forward with confidence in you. In Jesus' precious name. Let's just praise him. Just thank him. Everybody in the house, just thank and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for a release of your spirit. I do thank you for that customized message for each one, Lord. What they need, Lord, that insight. In their particular situation, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Settle down on each one, Lord, with that spirit of peace, wisdom, and grace, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Casting down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for a new release of freedom. And Lord, I thank you that this message will not be received in a spirit of bondage in any way, but it will bring liberty to us. Hallelujah. That it will bring hope and a future. And we will begin to use it. That we will begin to use the weapons you have given us. In the precious name of Jesus. For each one, Lord, I thank you for your grace and your anointing. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self took our sins in his own body on the tree. We being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By his stripes you were healed. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, I thank you for spiritual thoughts, spiritual insights, spiritual revelation, a loosening of the prisoners, Lord, just like you said in your word. I thank you that gospel power is being released in each life, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. You are holy, Lord, and you live in us. We thank you that the possibilities are limitless. I thank you for grace on each life and each ministry, grace on their relationships. Lord, where there's been that hopelessness, we just ban it. We banish it in Jesus' name. We hope in God. We trust in God. We believe in God. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins and healing our diseases. And thank you that we forgive others. We're not bound up with any bitterness. And God, you just are the Lord that heals us. You sent your word and healed them. And Lord, I just thank you that no word of God will be void of power. And the words that we've spoken today, they're not void of power, Lord. In Jesus' name, they're working in these lives. They're working in this church. They're working in this area. We just thank you, Lord, there will be holy repercussions from this word. Good things, Lord, will come out of this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Your anointing on each one. And that peace that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. You are the Lord that heals them. Grace, grace, grace. Yeah, that's what he said. You will bring forth to Zerubbabel. You know, you will bring forth the capstone, shouting grace, grace, grace unto it. The finished work of the temple. And Lord, for this church, we say that grace, grace, grace. It's all by grace. We haven't earned it. We just stuck with you, Lord, and you've done these things. And you're not done. You'll bring forth the capstone saying grace, grace, grace. Grace. Grace unto you in your life and your family. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the release of your Spirit, the release of your word, the multiplication of your word, Lord, in each heart and mind. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. You're my healer, Lord. Tell him that he's your healer. Hallelujah. You're my healer. Thank you for healing me. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a precious sight, you know. It's just a precious sight seeing you guys worship here. There's just a sweet spirit here. Just kind of hard to quit. Praise God. I just feel like as we're standing here, I ask you folks just to stay and help me, but I'd like to pray for Pastor Jeff, and I guess Carol's busy, but Carol, you could come. We'll just kind of hear the music without her playing it, all right? Come, we wanted to pray for your pastors. Kelly, can you come? Would you mind coming? We pray for you too. You can represent the rest of the family. Everybody stretch your hands this way. And you guys that are up here, you got minister too. Come and minister to them. Lay hands on them and pray. Bless this family. We thank you for them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit that's operating in their lives, Lord, and how you led them and guided them and you kept them, protected them in the storms, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We just pray your continued guidance upon their life and blessing upon their family, upon all their children, grandchildren to come. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Callie and all her siblings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand upon them, O God. We speak words of life and blessing to them. Lord, you said whoever we bless, they're blessed. We bless this family in Jesus' name. I thank you that this church stands with their pastor and blesses them in Jesus' name and holds up their arms, O God, and encourages them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for grace. Yes, Lord. Thank you for grace on all the relationships in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the families, in the marriages, with the children, between families, between people in this church. We just thank you that we give one another grace. We give one another space to grow. And there's just a tremendous healing in this church. Tremendous healing. How do you say it? A healing sanctuary. A healing sanctuary. Because not only they're speaking to the mountain, but they are speaking the same thing. They're speaking the word of God. There's no divisions among them. And this is a healing place. And we just proclaim that, declare that, and we thank you that when people come in there, they receive something. Sometimes even without laying on of hands, just the presence of God is like an oasis in the spirit. That's what this is. A healing center. Not that, you know, we're going to put a big label on it. That's not the point. But that there's just a healing atmosphere, a presence. And I thank you for this thing, these things, Lord, and I give you glory for it because you are the one that brings these things in the atmosphere. I praise you, Father. I praise you for this couple and the faithfulness that you put in their heart to be faithful, and I thank you for that. I thank you for their children. I thank you for giving their children understanding in all things, Lord. Even in some of the difficult things in ministry that they would say, oh, I understand now. I understand. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give revelation and help this family, and they would just be incredibly blessed. Incredibly blessed. I'm not talking about just about finances. I'm talking about every area. The relationships in this family are incredibly blessed. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And we just speak it and agree on it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we should pray for your trip too.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to pray for India, guys. So you can pray for me and my wife. And okay.
Anybody that wants to come up and lay hands on Tom?
Oh, thank you, Father.
They've been faithful to do what you've asked. Lord, I just pray that as they are being prepared in their body and their spirit and their mind, to not only minister in the United States, but as they go to India and other places, Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through them, that there will be no barrier that the Spirit of God cannot minister through. But it'll break through the pages of darkness that have been laid over the land for many years, and there'll be light that'll burst through those areas that need light of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you that the Spirit of the living God would go before them, opening the doors and opening the way for the Word of God to be powerful and to be mighty and to do the work in the hearts and lives of those that have heard and maybe have rejected, or those that haven't heard and need to receive. And so we just thank you for the preparation of the Holy Spirit that has gone to prepare them, that they might say, Jesus is Lord. And Father, we just pray that they would just be many, many people that would be touched. They would be healed. They would be set free. They would be delivered. Lord, you said all of that manifestations need to follow those that believe. And we just agree that there will be many manifestations of the Spirit of God, as well as the training of the Spirit will continue to go in deep into the heart of India.
Yes.
And Lord, we just ask you and praise you, that ask and praise you, Lord, for just protection over them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And we declare them safe all the way there, while they're there, and all the way home.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And so we thank you, Lord God. I pray that you would continue to pour into Tom, the very words that need to be spoken, no matter how simple or complicated it might be.
Yes.
We thank you that it'll be clear to Tom, and he'll be able to speak clearly that which you have given him.
Yes.
And Lord, that it would go right to the top, go to the leaders of the country.
Yes.
It would not just reside in certain areas, but it would go right to the top of the leaders.
Yes.
And they too would call upon the one who has spoken for God.
Yes.
And they would love to hear what the Word of God says.
Yes.
So I pray for just a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Tom and Susan as they share, as they speak, as they minister and touch people's lives. We just glorify your name today, because you truly are the one who we can rely on to do the work of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And we just love you and thank you, Lord. So we just agree in Jesus' name to be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else feel led to pray? Go ahead.
Tom, I just see you holding an old tin pail, and it's full of water. Times have never changed, for you're bringing forth the wellspring of life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mm. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Blessings, Aaron. God bless you. Amen, brother.
There we go. Thank you. Amen. Well, thank you for being a part of this morning and what God's doing. Remember, Tom's got all his stuff back there. If you would ever consider wanting to go on a mission trip, call him. Get involved. If God's directing you, get in there. Have fun. Amen? Amen. All righty. Well, we're going to, I believe, just we're done with everything, correct? Oh, yeah. The new life offering is back here. So if you want to do that, just be led. Okay? You don't have to beg you, thank goodness. So just do whatever God lays on your heart. And then next week, we got women singing and everything coming up this weekend. And the Vicky and Steve will be here Sunday morning as well. So just kind of giving you a flood of different venues of what God's got doing out there.
But you know, that's a good thing. So just take that all in as much as you possibly can. Okay? God's blessing to you. Greet Tom and bless him as you go, and bless one another, and we'll see you again.